sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, though the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
You cannot talk!
Take two. Episode 215. What's a God to a non-believer? Human beings in a mob. What's a mob to a king? What's a king to a God? And what's a God to a non-believer?
Message.
Human beings in a mob. What's a mob to a king? What's a king to a God? And what's a God to a non-believer?
Message.
Who don't believe in anything. Will he make it out alive? All right, all right. No church in a while. Welcome et bienvenue. Another episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, aka Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, aka Le Grand Papa B, and aka Gaston Lebanon. Excuse me. Woo! Wow, man. Hope you didn't hear that. Mm-mm. Disgusting. All right. Before I start what I believe will be another amazing episode a Shut Up Podcast, I need to inform you listeners that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts and is protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the
red, black,
and the red, blue.
Rouge et bleu
is up in this bitch. Rouge et bleu is up in this bitch. One more time. Rouge et bleu is up in this bitch. I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé Québec, and black folks who say yes to Big Rube's question,
are you an outcast?
This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you happen to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. This podcast may not be for you. Someone asked me, earlier during the week, it's like, what about black people who are down with Whitey? Fuck them. What about Asian people who are down with Whitey? Fuck them too. What about Latinos? Fuck them too. Being down with Whitey is not exclusive to white people. Even though white people tend to be very big fans of Whitey. You know what I mean? High five. Okay. All right. Hey, where was I? I forget that I'm in the middle of recording a podcast, so it's so easy to go on a tangent. This should be called B Black's Go on a Tangent Podcast, but bring it back. All right. Okay. Listeners, yes. Before I, another thing I'd like to do before I start the show is I'd like to send a shout out to all you returning listeners. Seriously, from the bottom of my heart, it means a lot. Y'all the reasons why the lights are on. I'm sending you all the love as possible. And another very important, different category of listeners that I need to acknowledge and show some love and respect to is a very important group. And that's all you first-time listeners. Yes, first-time listeners. Welcome to the club. especially if your ass clicked on this podcast by mistake. And you thought I was the other Shut Up podcast. No, seriously, hope you enjoy yourself, all right? Okay, now, I stick with tradition, just to help you new listeners get familiarized. I break down my episodes into three parts, right? You know, TV shows that they would with commercials and shit like that. So three parts. Parts that I call acts, okay? The first act is the intro. The second act is using random thoughts. And the final act is called, you guessed it, final thoughts. It's all about thoughts in this podcast. So far in the intro, what you've heard up to now, what you've heard in the intro is the theme song, followed by the title. Me say the title. I purposely did it in French and English. It's a way to say, hey, les français, you know what I mean? I'm with you. I'm just sticking to speaking English, whatever. I'll put it this way. The more feedback I get from French people, the more I'll start, you know, doing more of my French. Okay? Ça va être plus en français. Okay? But you voters decide. Anyways. Title, yes. Followed by some poetry. And, okay, granted, today's poetry didn't rhyme, but that's not the fucking point. All right. Followed by some poetry. And after that is a salutation. I really gotta forget that word. Salutation and disclaimer. I think there's a better word for it. Disclaimer. Little warning, right? To specify the kind of pot. You know, it's a disclaimer I put specifically for white people. Correction. I mean, white people, but white people down with whitey. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like, it's gotta give you a heads up. Because white people are so used to everything being about themselves. So sometimes you got to warn them that, hey, you're not going to be the main character on this podcast. All right. Okay. That's it. Okay. And before I wrap up the intro, I'd like to share some quote, which I should mention. Yeah. I'll share some quotes and I'll elaborate later on. Okay. Okay. First one goes, the most common form of despair is not being who you are. And author's name is, that's not a Christian name, Soren Kierkegaard. He must be one of them non-French, English, Spanish, German countries. Soren Kierkegaard, whatever. All right, second quote. Hold on, my notes are a little all over the place here. Bear with me. Second quote goes, know the difference between a person that's not worth it and a person that's not perfect. Damn, that's a challenge for me. And the last one is a bit longer. And I tell you, and it's so appropriate for the topic that I have in the third act. And it goes, professional. All right, okay. This one's a bit longer. Bear with me. I felt religious euphoria many times before. This is the first time that I'd ever felt real peace. Gone is the fear of eternal damnation, the weariness of working for heaven. Once those things are gone, the rest of Christianity, with its glittering edifices of rationalization, all come crashing down. For the first time in my life, I am free. My mind is clear of contradictions. I don't have to assimilate the things I know into chunky theology. Lack of God has made me anything but nihilistic. Interesting. Life is even more precious now. The universe so much grander and more awe-inspiring when not viewed from the pinnacles of creation. And the author's name is Jason Steiner from, I believe, a book called The Exxian Archives. Okay, I mentioned, yeah, and it's going to relate to the final thought. Bear with me on that. Okay, now, before we get to the third act, we got to jump to the second act, okay? Conclude first act. Okay, all right, let's do this, boys and girls, all right? Let's go. Yeah, one day, that sound you just heard, the go and the cuckoo chick or whatever, I'm going to have real commercials. Nah, that's not true. That's not true. I hate commercials. I'm not a big fan of podcasts. Hey, look, shout out to all you podcasts making money, but as a podcast consumer, I fucking hate those commercials. Well, I won't lie, unless they're relevant to me. And I know you guys can't control that shit, but I mean, it would be nice if they were like relevant. I listened to the Black Eye Tips podcast, and I felt like a bitch. And they were advertising a weapon. And just when I was getting ready to like disconnect and be like, oh, dismiss the commercial, I'm like, I'm not allowed having a weapon. The commercial, the announcer was like, yeah, and all you people in Canada, this shit is legal in your country. I'm like, wait, what? So I kind of like how they knew where I was from. Okay, I'm not big on Big Brother following, but I did like how they were like, no, it's legal in Canada. Yes, we're selling a weapon, and it's legal in your country. We did the research. I got to tell you, the last thing you want is a crazy person like me, a crazy paranoid person like me with a weapon. I mean, going to be a lot of slow swinging and flower bringing if the bigger alarm starts ringing. All right, okay. Stick to the agenda. Yes, tangent. All right, before I start, I got to tell you what happened to me yesterday. If you noticed, did I mention today's date? Episode is being recorded. Did I say that? This episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on October 28th. Did I forget that line? Damn, shame on me, man. I'm fucking up. Anyways, October 28th, 2024. Now, those of you who are like used to this podcast, I usually record on Sunday and Wednesday, sometimes Thursday. But Sunday on the Sabbath, I dedicate a day on a period of time on that day to record a podcast. Now, this is what happened. Which one do you want to hear? The truth or the conspiracy theory? All right, I'll give you a bit of both. Okay, this is what happened. I recorded yesterday. Did a full-on episode. Came up to 1 hour, 17 minutes. And only to realize, and here's my problem. You're never going to get me to admit that after years, what am I, 49 now? After years of handling electronic equipment, I actually forgot to hit the record button. You're never going to get me to admit that, even though all the evidence seemed to point at the possibility that I may have forgotten. I did a whole ass episode and forgot to hit the record button. Now, I'm convinced I did hit that record button, but maybe I didn't press it hard enough. Maybe my board is like fucking up on me. Who knows? Whatever, man. The conspiracy theory is the shit that I was talking was so dope that the white man fucked with me and deleted my episode. You can't see I'm in the recording. I also do a visual recording, and I just did the what's up? That pose where, yo Ed, sign this. You guys don't know what I'm talking about. Okay, anyways, so I was going to wait until make today's episode 250, this today's episode, a Wednesday episode, but knowing me, I might have a lot of shit to talk about on Wednesday. And two, one of the subjects that I covered in News and Random Thought was very popular on, was a common topic on my social media, and I'm like, fuck. I want to talk about it too. I took it as the Lord wants me to, the ancestors wanted me to make another. Look, I just wanted to record. Who am I kidding? I just wanted to put an episode out there just to keep it consistent. I just wanted to record. All right. Okay. So I got to rush this. I forgot that the beauty about this is I'm realizing that when I speak, I only know what I want to say until I see it. That doesn't make sense, eh? My point is, that's why it's so hard for me to write a speech. I can't, like, conceptualize. I gotta, like, do the speech. It's like I gotta freestyle and then I have to go, oh, okay, this is what I want to say now and make everything rhyme. All right, so here's hoping that because I recorded yesterday's episode, I'm gonna be more what's the word? Succinct. I can't pronounce that word. Succinct. More. It'll be easier for me to get to the point. All right. Okay. Let's see how this goes. Woo! Spotting sick is super special. Cut. We'll take it off. It's a little chilly in here. All right. Hold on a second. I'm gonna take off my toque. Yo. Oh wow. Okay. The volume, my headphones were a little louder. Okay, let's do this, okay? Now, this is the topic that was showing up a lot on my social media, specifically in the HSP, Highly Sensitive People, subreddit. And it turns out I'm not the only one who's feeling it, but I called it U.S. election fatigue, all right? If I go through the calendar, there are... Oh, shit, hold on a second. I think... Sorry, guys. I'm a little, I'm on call right now, so I got to check the time, because, yes, I'm still working on the plant. Okay, all right, cool. We're good. All right. So I thought I was getting a phone call from Massa. All right, okay. Where was I? I'm recording on a Monday. I don't usually record on weekdays, but okay. Where was I? U.S. election fatigue. But be black. You live in Canada. You're Canadian. Why the fuck do you have to be fatigued of? Are you fucking kidding? There are many reasons. I think we all have our reasons to be fatigued with this U.S. election. But I'll tell you which one is my biggest one. I'm going to play a clip to shout out to content creator, TikTok content creator. I think Castleman. I think that's how you pronounce their name. And in this clip, she's simulating a conversation between a internet leftist and everyone, a trans person and everyone else who have skin in this election, all right? And, yeah, I think she explains it better for me, but here we go.
Look, Trump winning doesn't matter. Both parties are the same.
Yeah, I mean, I can't get my hormones anymore without smuggling them in from Canada, but I'm just so glad you stuck to your morals and didn't vote.
Right, I mean, I'm gonna have to live with the trauma of carrying my rapist.
All right, you know what? This is one of those videos. Might be better if you saw it yourself, but I'm gonna read the caption, because the person who's responding to the internet leftist, the first person, was a trans person. Now it's a woman. It's women. Here we go.
Be the term, but frankly, it was worth you sticking it to the Dems. Well, Project 2025 gave the military the power to bust up all our protests and arrest the organizers, so all that's on hold, but at least we know you have the moral high ground.
Okay, actual leftists who do the work and organize.
Well, now that my union is busted.
Workers.
Busted and Project 2025 did away with overtime pay, I'm probably gonna have to move back in with my parents, but that's just the cost of standing up for your beliefs. Well, don't worry.
Internet leftists.
Worry, guys. Now we're gonna have our revolution. Sorry, I'm busy organizing a collective to protect trans youth from being taken from their parents. Yeah, I'm really tied up launching a new abortion fund so we can send people to Canada for care. Yeah, dude, I'm sorry. I just don't have time for political action anymore after I had to get a second job. Yeah, so we're actually helping all of those people because until their rights are secure, we are too scattered to fight for any progressive change. But what about Palestine? Oh, don't worry. Those people are still being unalived. It's like you said, right? Both parties are the same.
Yeah. I'm going to get to the point. Yeah, I know. The possibility that Trump will win the election because of people who believe voting doesn't matter. Imagine, try. You got to look at it this way. Imagine if they have this is how they have us divided. Like the she used the term internet leftist. I'm going with these pseudo-intellectual, these people who are convinced they're the smartest one in a conversation because they're not going to vote, because voting is useless. And I got to tell you, man, how are you the smartest if you're doing exactly what Trump, out of all people, wants you to do? He wants you to not show up to vote. I'm not telling you who to vote for, but the fact that these people know that, oh, okay, not a lot of people. Voting is our way, the masses, of letting these fuckers know we're paying attention. Whether your guy, your person wins or not, it lets them know that, oh, they're paying attention. So the idea that this asshole is going to win because of a whole bunch of white people, because again, majority of white people, there's a majority, a silent majority out there who was like, voting doesn't matter. It kills me. It's overwhelming. Make a nigga want to holler. I thought I was going to get to the point, but I'm realizing that I'm saying more things than I want to. All right. It's driving me nuts. It's gotten to a point where I'm forcing myself to let go. I'm trying to let go, and qui sera sera. Look, I'm not voting because of what's going on in Palestine. If the Democrats lose this shit, congratulations, you get to say, "All right, we were heard." Congratulations, you were heard. Problem is, and I don't know if you motherfuckers saw that, another reason why I'm recording today, I don't know if you guys saw that rally in Madison Square Garden, that people calling it a Nazi rally, I'm calling it a Klan rally. Both the same, but Giuliani, he let his hatred of Arabs well known. He said, Palestine, yeah, but there's not, you know, at 2 years old, they're told to hate Jews. He made it clear that if his guy wins, Netanyahu, okay, you should Google that shit, but Netanyahu's a fucking racist. He's not a fan of Arabs. Huge racist. Now, the relationship between United States and Israel is not changing in this lifetime. Only thing you can hope for is the asshole in control on the Israeli side has a temperament, isn't a racist like Netanyahu. Right now, he's like, I need someone who's going to let me exact my vengeance, my hatred on these Arabs, and not going to every fucking time, hey, give me a status report. No, I want someone who's going to be like, hey, green light, do whatever the fuck you want. And tell their citizens to shut the fuck up. Not stop sending them pictures. Stop sending, let us do our killing and stop telling your people, stop telling these fucking libtard about these atrocities we're committing. Did you not hear them? Yeah, did you not hear these guys? They're like, finish them. Let me put it this way, man. I think another fatigue, hope fatigue. If Trump wins, all hope, the hope that I had left in my life, I can't stop. It's an evil thing to say. We're in hope can't go around. I got to worry about my own self. Good luck, Palestinians. Hey, look, I know it's a cruel way to say, nah, it's accepting the reality that we're in. The choices they have is between the person who's like, nah, fuck that, wipe them out, and the other person who's like, yo, slow your roll. Because the one who's saying slow your roll is the only hope you got left for the poor folks in Palestine. All right, last point, B. Actually, two more points. Okay, so I like how this content creator made a distinction between internet leftists and leftists who like organize, basically boots on the ground people. The reason I like this is because I'm realizing when it comes to supporting Palestine, there are two categories. There's one category who are willing to work within the system. Those are the people who are voting. Those are the people who are like, yo, Kamala, once you're in, I'm going to be on your ass about Palestine. And the other ones are working outside the system. Now, I'm not telling you what to do, whatever, right? But they're on that gangster shit. If you're some asshole on the internet, trying to and criticizing people working within the system, you're as useless. You might as well just join the IDF soldiers who are like committing atrocities and taking selfies about. You might as well. The only difference is you're like the equivalent of the white person who says, I'm not racist. Or the guy who hears a atrocity committed towards a woman and a woman explaining an atrocity committed by a man, and you're like, not all men. You're fucking useless. Pick a side, pick a lane, lead, follow, get the fuck out the way. The people who are voting, that's their plan. That's their strategy. I'm voting for the one person who's least likely to make shit worse. I'm voting for the one person who I know what's going on in Israel looks bad for fucking them. Whatever the reasons they have for... Okay, you know what? Let's stop. Okay. Now, the other reason why I'm feeling like voter fatigue. Who am I kidding? U.S. election fatigue. They want to get that shit over with. Is, you know what? I'll let Michelle Obama explain it. Here we go.
So, I hope you'll forgive me if I'm a little frustrated that some of us are choosing to ignore Donald Trump's gross incompetence while asking Kamala to dazzle us at every turn. I hope you'll forgive me
if
I'm a little angry that we are indifferent to his erratic behavior, his obvious mental decline, his history as a convicted felon, a known slumlord, a predator found liable for sexual abuse, all of this while we pick apart Kamala's answers from interviews that he doesn't even have the courage to do, y'all. Uh-huh. So, I am...
Another thing that bothers me about this election, and fucking Twitter is really bad for, like, showing me this shit. It's a fucking clear choice. You got Kamala Harris and you got the bad choice. Look, I wish Jill Stein was at the level of Trump, meaning had support, was a threat. What, not a threat, but was actually a serious candidate. Cause then the discussion, the debates would be like, okay, who's got the best idea? No, instead it's the normal, decent human being, Kamala Harris, and the fucking bad choice. I'm not going to call Trump an idiot, because if he wins this shit, all his buffoonery will have meaning. You know, Trump is doubling down on the racism in America. Trump sees America for what it is. It's like, yeah, you know what? I can milk this country for the racist country that it is. You know, there's one thing to call Americans or the United States a racist country. It's another thing when you could use that shit to your advantage. I'm not the problem. Me saying, oh, America's racist. No, he's like, yo, I'm going to plug things to work in my advantage. But that frustration of, I was comparing it, it's kind of like having a friend deciding between the new, okay, I'm going to go with female, hetero female friend. The new guy she's met, who's like, cool guy, got his shit right. All right, I feel sexist doing this. Okay, I'm going to go with the male friend. He's like, he's choosing between this new girl he met. She's got her shit together, actually listens to his problem, like treats him like it's actually love. There's a potential for love between those two. And he's picking between her and his crazy ass ex who stabbed him a few times. Do you guys not remember the 4 years of Trump? Oh, right. Okay, you know what? That's right. I forget that there was a category of people who during those 4 years of Trump, it was just he was just like, Trump, you're just being silly. It was just like a slight bump on the road. It wasn't even a bump on the road. It was like driving by a car crash. Like, that's fucked up, man. Okay, I keep going. It was nothing to them. They weren't bothered by the Trump period. I was, but anyways. U.S. election fatigue. All I know is if Trump wins, I will be looking at white people sideways. Because in the end, I'm talking shit about, you know, these pro-Palestine supporters who are, like, sitting out this election. But in the end, it's going to come down to white people because they're the majority voters. And if they like, I'll be looking at white people sideways in a sense that, look, yes, you claim to want to be on the right side of history, but looks like you can't. Even if you wanted to, you can't do shit. You people are ineffective. I mean, you're effective at keeping racism going, but when it comes to taking it down or getting closer to taking it down, uselessness. Anyways, and when I say not just white Americans, white Canadians as well. I know in Canada, Trump is not, I was going to say, not a majority support. You know what? It's not the Trump supporters I have a problem with more than I hate Trump. And then in the voting booth, it's like, hey, my husband told me, my dad told me I had to vote for Trump. They're the people. Or the, look, I don't want people to think I'm uncool. Because right now, if you say Trump, it makes you uncool. You're out of the popular kids. But anyways, U.S. election fatigue. Shout out to my highly sensitive, my HSPs out there who are like agreeing with me and being like, fuck, get this shit over with. At this point, it's qui sera sera. What happens is going to happen. I am bracing myself for a Trump win. And then, step one, looking at white people. So I don't think I'm going to work the next day because I may be very like, I might make things a little cringier, white people. It's, yeah, and, all right, okay. Okay, next item. Wow, you dedicated a lot, what was that, 20 minutes? Yeah, you dedicated a lot of time. Okay, I'm not going to rush this, but okay. Next item is shout out to my homegirl, Erica Ifill. She's got a podcast called Bad and Bitchy Podcast. There's a chance some of you actually came here because of her podcast, so why the fuck am I telling you about her podcast? All right, okay. I just wanted to shout out to her because she had she did an episode titled Canada's Modern Day Slavery. It's like, shit. Canada, as soon as you get modern day slavery, okay, how else is Canada fucking up? And they were just talking about how it was a reportage. She had an insightful conversation with someone who's got like the eye on the ball on the migrant situation in Canada. And no, it's not a case. And yo, they answered everything, man. They answered everything to a point where I wish a motherfucker would complain about the migrants stealing their jobs next to me. Because that's the part they don't tell us. The migrants who end up with jobs here are treated like shit. Paid the least. It's literally modern day slavery. Literally. Okay, we can't beat you anymore because, you know, fuck. Dude, go off the fucking libs with the fucking you bleeding heart liberals will bitch about that. We can't beat you anymore. So we're going to do shit like, take away your passport and make you realize that we're your God. Fun fact, funny story, because I connected to the conversation. Funny story is, I used to work in the United States as a temporary, legally, holy shit, on a temporary visa, work visa, right? Again, all legally. I could prove it. I don't want to, but I could prove it. But anyways, that's not the point. My point is, I remember the headhunter finding me, and he told me about the job, and he made it sound more fancy than it actually was. He said, yeah, you're going to be providing, more fancy than it was, and I get the job. It wasn't that bad, but okay, it paid well. It paid very fucking good. Very well, right? So I'm like, yo, I made it. I remember just seeing the salary and thinking, I made it. I'm a success story. You know, I was couldn't wait to call all my exes and being like, yeah, remember me? Remember me now? I'm rich. And whatever. Anyway, so moved to the States, moved all my shit and burnt all my bridges. Said, yeah, fuck y'all, man. I'm a success. I'm moving to the States. Whatever, right? So, all these middle fingers, drive to the States, right? And then I get my job, start my job, blah, 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 blah. Next thing you know, I get the job and they like flip things on me and they're like, okay, all right. I remember 1 week passed by and they had announced some layoffs and a whole bunch of people got laid off. Like, ooh, wow, okay. And I still got my job. Then the following week comes up, my boss comes shows up and says, hey, Remember that position of yours? Yeah, it's going to be a graveyard shift job. You're going to be working from 12 to 7. Is that 8 hours? 12 to 8, 12 to 7, whatever. You don't have a problem with that, do you? I'm like, fuck. If I was in Canada, I'd be like, suck my dick. I mean, well, not on that salary. Okay, the carrot was the salary. The stick was a, yeah, wow. I just told a bunch of people in Canada that I'm a big shot back here. I can't go back. My pride. My point is, they had me by the balls. They had me accepting shit that under normal circumstances I wouldn't have accepted. And that's what these poor souls are in, man. They're in these positions where with these modern slavery. I mean, Canada, we like to paint ourselves as good people, but nah, man. All the worst kind of human beings out there are like have the top jobs and they're taking advantage of these migrants. From sexual assault, from yeah, you're working on the weekend. Nah, you and all your homies live in this one shack by yourself. And yo, it's some sad story, man. In Canada. And I'm not really clear on how the government is helping the situation. I think they're making too much money from this shit to be like, eh, to not turn a blind eye to it. But it's sad, man. It's sad. Anyways, I recommend checking out the episode. It's more insightful than, it's very insightful. I'm only giving you small details, but all I know is I left a great episode, made me mad. Which is a good thing. I mean, it made me think, but it made me madder than I'm already am. All right, okay. I'm gonna skip this one. Like, I don't know if you guys like read the show notes on the website as I do these podcasts. It's pretty much I put the links, and this is what I'm gonna talk about, right? But I'm gonna skip this one. Not skip, but you can check out the links. There's a link called Ellie Orlando doesn't handle being heckled well. Excuse me. And yeah, and I'm just going to leave that one. You'll watch it for yourself, and you'll see and just agree with me that I fucking hate hecklers. Okay. All right. Next item is, fuck. I can't summarize for shit. Okay, all right. Let's go. Next item. I call this a human moment between a Jewish American and an Israeli. Okay, the reason I'm calling this a human moment is because I'm looking at, so it's, the human moment is more, maybe human moment is tough, but it's more watching an elder talking to a younger person. The elder is, they're both Israeli, on the Israeli side, but the elder is like, sees the situation for what it is. And the younger guy is like diehard, nah, Zion, pro-Zionist, pro whatever the fuck Netanyahu told us, whatever Israel is telling us, like on that side, and he's younger. And what I love about, I'm just going to play the conversation. You can't see it, but you should watch it for your end. And I want to be clear, it's for my own interests. It's for my, this is me looking at a picture, looking at it, capturing a moment in human existence and being like, okay, there's hope. It made me hopeful. I'm not saying the younger person changed their ways or whatever, but just seeing that moment of this elder speaking to this younger guy, and he kind of looks receptive. Now, I'm not saying he changed his mind, but the fact that he doesn't interrupt him, gaslight him, it made me hopeful about this. It's fucked up. That's how fucked up the world is. I got to find hope in a 4-minute video clip. Okay, all right, I'm just gonna play it and let you make your own conclusion. Oh, by the way, the gentleman speaking, his name is Gideon Levy, and the other guy is, the younger man is Destiny. Yes, that Destiny, the content creator Destiny, the liptard, you know what I mean. Sorry, I say liptard, but it's my way of saying, because that's what they call us. Whatever, man. Bleeding heart. What the fuck? This, you little bitch, social justice warrior. Whatever the fuck. Whatever, man. Okay, here we go, B. That'd be B. Here we go. Niggatrons.
We are speaking of two different levels. You are talking about the diplomatic level And I'm talking about basic justice, about basic equality, about basic values. And this interests me 10 times more than what Abbas declared or not. I want to live in a just state, and I don't live in a just state. I live in an apartheid state. And this will not be solved through diplomatic arrangements. It will be solved, first of all, when Israel will realize what we have done to the Palestinian people over the last 100 years. Until we realize this, we cannot get to anything. And we don't realize it. We deny it. And you really reflect all the talking points of the Israeli propaganda, which is fine. I was in your place when I was young. I believed in everything you said. Until I realized that my brain was washed for years. I was told we are the David and they are the Goliath, that they want to kill us, that they were born to kill, that we are the just ones and only the just ones, that we are the ultimate victims. All those things I was told. Until I started to look around and to realize that I was brainwashed. But why would I have the right to sit to settle everywhere and they don't have the right to settle everywhere in their land? Why? Because we are what you are comfortable with, the state that the mass killing, I don't want to use the word genocide, even though it has genocidical elements, who killed masses of people in Gaza, who distracted the whole Gaza Strip, who is now doing the same in Lebanon. You are comfortable with this. You really believe that it's all because of self-defense, the right for self-defense. You really believe that Israel is still the victim and the Palestinians are the evil ones. I don't know where to start even.
I mean, I'm not comfortable with it. It needs to change, but just paying lip service to it and saying it's a horrible state of affairs doesn't do anything. If that would have worked, then we would have seen peace between Israel and the Palestinians 24 years ago with the boss. We would have seen peace, or I'm sorry, with Arafat. We would have seen peace with the boss. We would have seen peace with the Great March of Return. It just doesn't happen. There has to be leadership that takes a brave step to change the state of affairs. And until both sides feel that impetus, that pressure, nothing is going to change. Just pointing out the situation and going, this is so bad, it hasn't done anything yet. Why would we expect it to do anything in the future?
My main complaint to you is that you look at both sides as symmetrical, and they are not. I tried to explain it and trying again. We are not two symmetrical parties who are struggling over one piece of land. Long time not. We are the brutal, forceful, strong, regional state, regionally superpower, vis-a-vis a people who lives without any protection under the very brutal Israeli boot for decades now. And whatever he tried, failed. They tried the resistance, they tried diplomacy, they tried the legal arena, wherever they try. They have no understanding. And how do you get out of it? If you deal with both parties as equals, you get nowhere because we are not equals. There is the occupier and there is its victim. And nobody can deny it now anymore after so many years.
Deep. I was reading the first comment, then it goes, this is what I don't get. In basically every other topic, destiny rules basically every debate. But when it comes to this, he does seem totally brainwashed. Destiny is shocking everyone, man. I think Destiny shocked me with his pro-Zionist views. Don't know the man, but he's used to being the guy who's like the reasonable one in the debate. It's a tough one. I probably need to elaborate what I mean by a reasonable one. Because some of you are probably saying, because he agrees with everything you says? No. Because he makes point that I can digest. Anyways, but when it comes to Zionism, it's like, fuck that. fuck them other niggas because I'm down with my niggas. I feel like that's... But this conversation that you're seeing is exactly why I would not engage a Zionist... A pro-Zionist Jewish person in a debate slash conversation about Palestine. Because it's deeper for them. It's equivalent to a white person engaging me in a conversation about how he's got the right to use the N-word. I don't give a fuck what Newton theory you use. It's not gonna get. It'd be equivalent to him saying black is not beautiful. Come on, you gotta rationalize. Nah, there's certain shit that's ingrained. It's not changing. Also. All that Jewish person has to say is, to shut me up, is be like, pretend instead of Palestinian, we were killing white people. I'd be like, ooh, a minority group of white people. I'm like, ooh, I mean, that's fucked up. But a part of me would be like, ooh, damn, I see your point. I'm not advocating killing white people, but I'm saying that thirst for fuck y'all, that no, I'm this close to wanting to, because of my past, because of shit that's happened to me, I'm like this close. And my thumbs and my index finger are like a few centimeters apart. I'm this close to want to see the world burn. I'm like Killmonger on this shit. Like, it would bring out my inner Killmonger. And that's what I'm, my point is, one, hearing this older Israeli man speak from a human side and acknowledging it's like, yo, it's fucked up, man. We killing, you gotta admit, some of these Indians got massacred. I'm imitating Chris Moltisanti. It's one end, and on the other end, it looked like this gentleman said, yo, he's falling to the brainwash. Nah, he knows better than to interrupt this older man. Now, again, I don't know if he's going to leave me. I think I've had a moment where an elder spoke, someone spoke to me and I had a deep belief in it. And it like, I see what you're saying. I get your point. I'm not agreeing, but you're making some strong points that I can't revoke. Maybe that stripper doesn't love me. Fuck. Maybe all the money I've been giving to that chick is going to get her to fuck me. Damn. I see your point, homeboy. Anyways, human moment. Human moments, all right? And that's what this podcast is about. Talking stuff about shit that, talking about stuff that most people would be like, whatever. just reject. All right, okay. Last point. Last on news and random thought. This one categorized on both news and random thoughts. Okay, so I don't know if you guys are familiar with the black class action suit. And it's a bunch of black employees. You know what? Let me get homeboy's name because I think it's very important that... I don't think he wants to be singled out. Homie's name. Hold on. Take action. Home statement. Diversity. History. News. What about the team? Contact us. Who is other people? Okay, whatever, man. I want to get the name of the founder. Anyways, group of black employees are setting up what are we seeking? We are seeking long-term solution to permanently address the systematic racism and discrimination in the public service Canada, which is true. So that's their plan. They're setting up to get a black accent. Okay, where I'm going with this is I attended one of their meetings. And the biggest take, I'm not going to sum up the meeting. It was a great productive meeting. I'm glad I went Zoom. But the biggest takeaway that I got from the meeting, there was four speakers. And all four of them, I think the first three put a lot of emphasis. They didn't put emphasis. It's more, I'm the one who was like, you know when someone tells you something, and it probably went in one ear and out the other. And one day it just registered like, oh, that's what you said. The word that registered to me was the word promotional opportunities. So at first, I thought, or I interpreted, and I'm sure I'm not alone, especially on the white folks, right? Again, I'm a victim of white supremacy. I not dismissed, but felt like it was all about making sure us blacks were getting promoted in the government. And I'm realizing, nah, promotion, sure, but the biggest thing is opportunities. That's the biggest, that's the issue. That's what, it's like, if you go into government site, I was, me and my cousin were talking about that. He was showing me a picture of him and his last team, and he's just the one black guy there. Me too. I remember I was on a Zoom call, all staff meeting, and I was the one black dot in that picture. And I remember looking like, oh, I guess that's what my role is, to make these white folks feel like they're not racist. That's by me, by having me in that picture, they get to say that I'm one of the good white people, because there's a nigger in there and I am not calling him a nigger and I'm not complaining. So racism is over. And my point is, we've normalized walking into a place of business and only seeing white people there. And if there are people of color in there, they're probably janitor staff. They're probably, you know, low level, but fuck that. Management, you got your mind? It's clear and evident they're not spreading this opportunity around. If you just look at the work site, it's clear that, nah, we making sure that only a group of us get these opportunities. Okay, first it was just white men. Now it's like, hey, these fucking libtards are bitching again. All right, libtards/social justice warriors are bitching again. So let's expand this to white women. But that's it. Let's stop there. Again, promotional opportunities. Now, I meant to write them and say, hey, y'all need to change your messaging. Nah, your messaging is perfect. I'm the one who was like, who was like, oh, I see what you're saying. You know, because the difference between promotional opportunity and opportunity, it's equivalent. I think it reminds me of when the bus boycott and black people want, hey, we want to be treated like human beings. Fuck this whole, we got to reserve the back seat for us. What's with distinction just because of our, that's some apartheid shit. And white people had the audacity to see this as, oh, black people are just asking for some free shit. They want special privileges. You want these special privileges, nigga? Get the back of the bus. You know what I mean? That, like, it's just, what's that saying? To the privilege, it looks like you're losing. And then when the truth is, look, I just want to get it like you got. I want the opportunity to be able to be a failure like you. Not like you, but to, look, it doesn't make sense that all your upper managements, it's all a bunch of white dudes. I mean, it makes sense to a person who needs to believe that, well, of course, because white people are smarter and black people are boom, 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 savages. They're lucky we even opened the door for them. Anyways, yo, shout out to the black class action suit. I was watching a bitch of the clip. Right now they're in court. This was October 28th. They're in court trying to get their lawsuit certified. I'm not sure I'm clear on the lingo, but they're trying to get shit certified. And they were making some good points. They were the part that I was looking. Yo, I was looking at them like, yo, I think they know what the fuck they're doing. And if they get shut down, it's because racism. All right. Okay. Okay, that's it. Damn, B. You know what's funny? On yesterday's recording, this session, I finished it in less time, but okay, whatever. All right, okay, this concludes User Random Thoughts. Now, the moment y'all been ready for, the final act. Okay, I'm going to get to the fucking point this time. I promise. Okay, what's up with today's title? Okay, usually, like I said, the title and the poetry are usually intertwined together. I get the title from the poetry that I recited, and I recite the poetry to give you greater context. So I purposely put a title that makes you go, what the fuck is he thinking? And then the poetry gives it more context. You know what? I'm going to give myself props for that one. Anyway, whatever. Okay. So, hold on. Let me check the time. I forgot. I'm on a clock here. Okay. The, what's up? The title comes from the chorus in a song by Jay-Z and Kanye West from their Watch the Throne album called No Church in the Wild. I think No Church, No Church in the Wild is equivalent to saying, or the opposite of there are no atheists in a rabbit hole. And it's like, yeah, or to me, it's like, you know, my religion is reality. It's like, yeah, that shit. Anyways, No Church in the Wild. And I've used that verse to introduce the topic of, or to answer the simple question, which came up on my timeline, why did I stop going to church? Better yet, why am I a former Christian? Why have I turned away from the religion of my parents? Why have I given up on it? And shout out to the Christians out there going, well, you were never no real, you were never one of us. I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck what you think of my status. But one thing's for sure is, breaking away from Christianity. On the last episode, I said, on the previous one that I recorded, I said that it was a tough choice. Actually, it was more a long choice. It wasn't something that I did instantaneously. It was a series of events, a series of evidence, a series of shit had to happen. And then there was an initial start I'll talk about. And then there was a final straw that I was like, yeah, that's it. That's it. It's kind of like I equate my ex-Christian status to being in a divorce. Now, I don't know shit about being married or divorced, but based on what I've heard from people who have been divorced, they talk about that vacuum that's created, that sense of loss, that sense of fuck. You aspired for something great and that letdown, that disappointment. That I could connect to that. And so like I said, yeah. So what the final straw was pretty much, there's a picture going viral of Christians turning, basically excusing Trump, Christian worshiping Trump. Not all Christians. You're missing the point. And this is where it hits home. Okay, before I explain that part, right, let me tell you what triggered the first I'm going to call it the 9/11 that sent me down this pathway of being a former Christian. Now, I don't expect you Christians, you diehard zealot Christians, to understand, but I do expect the version of me who was a Christian would understand, would be like, yeah, I get it. Leave him alone. He's on his own path, right? And what initially triggered, okay, first, there was always this feeling that something's wrong with this religion. I never had the words for it, but something is wrong. Like, I feel like I'm just trying to be myself and I'm constantly shit on for just expressing myself in this religion. Like, there's way too much control. Two, but the real trigger, the real cataclysm, I call it the 9/11, the day that changed shit. And I was young. It was the day that I learned that Jesus wasn't actually white. Now, I'm not saying that I enjoyed Christian. What the fuck? A nigger? He's not a white man. I give up on Christianity. No, it wasn't the fact. It wasn't just the fact that he wasn't white. It was the reason why they made him white. They painted him white. There's a reason why that picture that was sitting in my parents' kitchen in all their homes of the final supper. The one painted by Michelangelo. I used to stare at that picture all the time and seeing these white people and looking at my family and being like, something's wrong with us. Something, like, I always felt like there was, like, it triggered, like, no, I didn't see it as something wrong with the religion. I kept feeling like something is wrong with us because our skin color doesn't match that one. And shout out to white people who are like, don't think about that kind of shit. Nah. It since childbirth, I'm like, something's up. Something's wrong. I felt like we were the defects. But anyways, the day I found out The moment I found out, it might have been during the lecture, that that portrait was inaccurate. Jesus wasn't white. And then found out, well, the reason why they paint him white is because if so slave masters could keep you guys in check. It's so you would believe that white is superior and black is inferior, to reinforce that idea, which is, I grew up with that shit. I remember seeing that and being like, what the fuck? And then, like, the role of Christianity and white supremacy, pretty much. I remember learning that the first slave ship had Jesus's name on it. I'm like, what? You didn't even intervene for that? I understand free will, but for, wait, what? Hold on a second. You flooded Earth because a bunch of motherfuckers were jerking off. I don't know, whatever. What did he flood Earth? Was not respecting God. You flooded Earth for that shit. But your name on a slave ship? You're like, whatever, man. Just pay your copyright. It's not a copyright infringement. I'm okay with that. That fucked me up. So essentially is, oh, wow. Christianity ain't against white supremacy. It's part of it. It's like, it was different when Jesus Christ was my motherfucking nigger when I had to believe. But now it's like, oh, you're part of this system. Fast forward, and again, like I was young, fast forward to a whole bunch of different disappointment from pastor. Every possible disappointment you can think of, being let down by the church, gone on. And also, just keeping my eyes open. I remember there was a time where I felt like telling my parents, like, if you really wanted me to believe in God, you should not have sent me to college. Or at the very least, let me learn physics. Anyways, fast forward, and this was the real clincher. I don't know if this might have been 2018. Trump was in office. He was president. And I remember this lady who used to be my Sunday school teacher, and she was part of this new church. She gave me a flyer for an event going on in her church. And the event, the speaker at the event was Paula White. For those who don't know, at the time, I don't know if she still is, if she's still cashing this check, but at the time she was considered, or she was labeled as Trump's spiritual advisor. You heard me right. Trump's spiritual advisors. And I know there's a bunch of Christian that's like, hey man, that fucking guy works for all of us. Shut the fuck up. Anyways. All right, what the fuck you doing on this podcast? All right. And I remember looking at that and looking at her, I said, wait, Paula White, Trump's spiritual advisor? And I could see the look on her face. She was just getting ready to, like, proselytize me. She was getting ready to, like, feed me bullshit like she's, like, her and every other crazy Christians who've, like, hey, God is against rap music, or you shouldn't dress like that because it's not Christian. You shouldn't talk like that. You shouldn't walk like, I hate the way that you walk, the way that you talk. Hate the way that you, anyway, you shouldn't walk, talk, you shouldn't comb your hair that way, you watching porn? What the fuck? You watching, Blur Me? What the fuck? Sorry, that's X-rated porn. It's like, however way, and I'm a hetero male, however way I existed, I was somehow fucking offending God. Wait, you don't show up to early service? God's pissed, you know? She was getting ready to, for every time I've, like, said something and then got chastised for, oh, you're not being a real Christian. She was getting ready to give me one of those real speeches. But I remember, she started with, oh, you shouldn't believe what the media says about Trump. And I could see her getting ready to force feed me that bullshit. And I remember I was like, that's it. I've never been so confident in my life. It's like, fuck it. When I die, let me go to hell. Let me burn in hell. I'd rather go to hell than hear whatever bullshit argument you're about to make right now. Now, of course, at the time, I didn't have that kind of courage because, you know, old Sunday school teacher, she knows my parents, and I was still scared of my parents. So I didn't tell this bitch to go fuck herself like I really wanted to. Instead, the Lord set my bus, because we were at the bus stop when this happened, and my bus showed up, said, oh, I got to go. And really rude about, yeah, I got to go. I ain't trying to hear this shit. I got to go. I need to sign a check. But I remember seeing my bus. But seeing her being a Trump supporter, and I'm like, yo, your Bible doesn't have what it takes to teach you that this fucking guy is a scoundrel. You can't see. This Bible doesn't allow you to see you're being played by this Dwight dude. I'm like, it's fuck that. If this Bible can't save, nothing can save you. Fuck it. At this point, Jesus has to come down himself and be like, okay, this is what I'm down with and this is what I'm not. Because right now, too many of his followers are telling me, no. Jesus is down with whatever I tell you he's down with. Now, some of you are probably, if you're Christian, you're probably telling yourself, oh, but okay, all right, past mistakes, okay, now that you know better, you can do better. Go fuck you, man. I'm especially black Christians right now, I'm respecting the fact that some of you probably had better experience with Christianity than I did. And I respect that. I'm not trying to turn you away from your belief, but I am asking you to respect my decision. Now, I'm willing to accept the possibility that what I'm rejecting, there's a word I was introduced to, is toxic Christianity. I'm probably rejecting toxic Christianity plus white evangelical Christianity, the whole worship of, because Trump is the white supremacist captain right now. That's probably what I'm rejecting. And I'm willing to acknowledge that, but I'm too far gone. I'm like I said, I compared it to like the divorce. It's kind of like seeing your spouse cheat on you for the last time. Violate you for the last time. I can't go back. Like, now that I see Christianity for what it is, I can't go back. Even my concept in belief in God needs to be adjusted. This is why you'll probably hear myself, I pray to the ancestors. I remember a pastor who was like, oh, that's some bullshit. Go fuck yourself. If you can't tell, I'm triggered right now. I'm going through some. There's like some real raw emotion in this shit. About this shit. But yeah, man, that's why I ain't trying to hear shit about church. And if you come at me with, well, maybe you need to try this again, it's an automatic dis. It's, ah, oh, man, yes. You are not. You're better off. I don't want to hear shit. Your life is your example. If Christianity works for you, go be it. But don't try to sell that shit on. As soon as you try to sell that shit on me, I'm like, yeah, I'm starting to doubt it. Sounds like you need me to believe in this shit so you can believe it too. If it's a real relationship, keep it to yourself. Like Malcolm X said, man. I'm noticing the time. And just to wrap this up. Okay. In the links for the same section, I've added some in the links. In the section, there's a few links that you should check out that influence this the stuff that I'm sharing with you. First one is there's a clip of Roland Martin talking to four pastors, because that's the clip that made me say, okay, maybe what I'm rejecting is white evangelical Christianism. Or it's also the clip that I'm saying, oh, okay, I see they've gotten better, but I'm not going back. That good for you. Oh, congratulations. Y'all did better. Good for you. So he's talking to these three pastors about Donnie Swaggart, who had the audacity, white people audacity, to be like, black people, y'all niggers need to vote for Trump. Basically dissing Kamala. Anyways, the clip is in the show notes under final thought section. And it's labeled black preacher, rip racist white pastor who called out the black church for Harris support. Everything they say, I couldn't have said any better. So it's a longer clip. It's a 30-minute clip, but, you know, enjoy it. Second one is a poem by Talon Macy called Proselytizing. And what I like is my favorite line is, he goes, yeah, you picked the wrong person to talk God to. Because I know what I'm expecting. You're just telling me talking points. Whatever. Check it out for yourself. Another one, third one is Life Jennings' song. It's called Made Up My Mind. And it's a beautiful song about how, yo, man, I go to church and I'm being this. I think he's attacking church people. Not attacking, but expressing his, what's the word? Discontent with church people. And the last one is a comedy skit by Josh Johnson. And he talks about the Catholic Church, another lawsuit. And there's a part where he expresses like that, that okay, it's all jokes, don't get me wrong, but there's a part where he expresses that disappointment that the person that I was my moral spiritual authority, the I must feel to be let down by the person you went to for guidance to talk to me about what goes on when I die. What is the Almighty thinking want for my life? The person you want to is touching little kids. Like something as basic as, like, it'd be different if these priests were like, you know, going to jail for, you know, not paying parking tickets. I'm like, oh, wow. Okay. Whatever. He without sin, but touching kids word. And the church made it worse by, okay, we're just going to shuffle you around. Anyways, Josh Johnson does a better job explaining whatever, man. The disappointment in the institution of the church. And yeah, no, that's it. Every other link is in my show notes is whatever. Oh, and the other links, yeah, it should be interesting. All right, this concludes today's episode of Shut Up Podcast on Monday, the day after the Sabbath. Because the last one, the white man deleted. All right. Again, you're never going to get me to admit that I forgot to hit the record button. The fucking board's not working. All right, okay. Again, the shit that I say on this podcast is meant to reach, like, holler if you hear me. That's my policy. Holler if you hear me. It's meant to reach out to similar thinking people. Basically, the basic that I ask is that you understand what the fuck. Like, I need to sense that, oh, you understood the assignment. To you, I'm sharing my email address, which is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. Sure, I expect a few people to be like, oh, wait, let me talk to you about the church. I mean, unless your response, you know, okay, no, I'm not going to be mean about it. But yeah, shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. All right, that's who I share this email with. Because I know some people listen to this as, oh, you're asking me to fix you. That's not what it's, that, you know, that's, you don't understand the assignment. There's someone out there who was like, yeah, no, I get it. I left the church for the scenery. I feel guilty. My parents aren't fucking pissed at me because I won't do what they want me to do. Nah. You know what I'm talking. Anyways, I'm talking to you. And website is shutuppodcast.com. Again, the website is not, you know, it could look better. Am I being mean? I'm acting like my website has feelings, right? It's like, fuck, why can't you look better? Why should you look sexy like the other websites out there? But yeah, anyway, it's my way of saying it's a work in progress. But with that said, thank you for listening. I, again, appreciate your time. And as always, please remember, be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. Peace. I am your king now!